Good morning. My name's Crispian and I'm on the church leadership team. Today we begin a new phase in our journey through the pandemic. Today we reopen our church building and a service will be taking place at 10 o'clock each Sunday from now on. If you're watching this online service from home on a Sunday morning, then we wish you every blessing. And we fully understand that not everyone feels ready to gather in person just yet. We will be very pleased to see you all in person as soon as you feel you're able to come and it is right to do. In the meantime, we'll continue to make these online services, although in a slightly more simplified form, to enable our very dedicated recordings team to cope going forward. Last week, CLT took a backwards look over the last 16 months and saw all that God had done and blessed us with during that time. This week, CLT share their thoughts on what is to come as we look forward to the summer and the autumn term when our new leader, Joel, joins us. Let us begin by reading together Psalm 122. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem, built as a city that is bound firmly together, to which the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. There thrones for judgment were set, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they be secure who love you. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers. For my brothers and companions' sake, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good.
Still the greatest treasure remains.
Let us pray. Our gracious Lord and loving Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning with gladness in our hearts. Gladness that we can meet with you wherever we are, knowing that you are present with us, watching over us, wanting to bless us by your Spirit and making us whole in Jesus. We thank you that we have reached a point in the life of our nation where we can begin to meet more freely and move out of the period of lockdown which has dominated our day-to-day lives for so long. Some of us still want or need to guard our lives from this disease which has afflicted the world, and we know that there are many countries for whom release is still a considerable way off. We ask that you will sustain those with hope that it will not be forever. We pray for those who have caught COVID and are suffering from its effects. We pray for the NHS and carers who are looking after them. We pray for those who have other illnesses where treatment has been delayed and who must wait longer. We pray for those who still wait for the vaccine to arrive, those for whom work means danger of exposure but is necessary for income to live. Lord, you know all of our needs, even before we ask or seek your help in this. Be gracious to us, Lord. Do not deal with us or our world as we deserve, but according to your abundant mercy and grace. We pray for forgiveness of our sins and ask that you would make us more like our God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, whose death and resurrection opened the way to our receiving your forgiveness and which gives us hope of our complete restoration to the people you made us to be. Receive our thanks and praise for his sake, we ask. Amen. And now will you join me in the prayer the Lord taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Hello there, I'm Helen, and you might remember that in last week's online service, we looked back at the last 16 months of the pandemic. Although we haven't been meeting together at church, we have been learning together, both through the teaching during our service and also in our house groups. So, as we move forward out of lockdown, we have got all sorts of exciting things God has taught us that we can really start putting into practice. In the autumn, we looked at a series by Pete Grieg about the Lord's Prayer. By looking afresh at the words that Jesus taught us and breaking them down line by line, we were able to get a deeper understanding of this amazingly powerful prayer and the impact it has on our day-to-day life. I think the most important thing I learned is not just to come to God with a list of items I want Him to do for me, but to take time in adoration at the start of every time of prayer. As Pete said, our relationship with God is relational, not transactional. The Lord's Prayer is the perfect structure for all of our prayers, and it will be so wonderful to be able to say it together in church. Although I know God hears prayers on Zoom, even when they're a bit distorted, there's a time lapse and everyone talks at different times. After Christmas, we considered our front lines and how to live a Christian life in the day-to-day place where God has placed us. Many of our church family took part, and here is a reminder of their front lines.
My name is Alan McMillan. I am retired.
So this time last year, I was studying in Harvard University in Massachusetts.
Hi, I'm Beth Meller, and with church members Carol and Dawn and a team of fab parents from the community, I run a cafe drop-in at Whitley Bay Baptist Church for families whose children need extra care. Take five and chat. This is very much my front line.
Hiya.
Hello.
Helping with homeschooling our grandchildren during Corona is, as you can see, a hands-on activity.
Hello, my name is Jane. And this is my front line behind me, Southwood School.
I'm captured by your holy calling. Set me apart. I know you're drawing me.
My front line is not so much a place, but rather a state of mind. A state of preparedness. A state of readiness to serve. Wherever the Lord should take me, whoever He should bring across my path.
I'm Elaine, and I'm standing above King Edward's Bay because the beach and the sea of King Edward's Bay has become my new front line.
So currently this is me on my front line, Monday to Friday. Sat at the desk and study, working as a data analyst and performance and research advisor for the council.
Hello. I'd like to introduce you to the main means of my front line at the moment. This is Buddy, and he's my daughter's dog. And since the lockdown in March, I come along here at lunchtimes and take him out for a walk. And as the dog walkers among you will know, it's a very good way to make conversation.
Hi there, so my name's John. I'm a doctor here at the Freeman Hospital. I'm in the renal outpatient department. In a clinic room here, and my role on the front line is to see patients with kidney disease, help them manage and treat their kidney problems during this pandemic.
Hi, it's Rachel here. When I think of my front line, I think mostly of my job as a nurse. So I work for a cancer charity called Pancreatic Cancer UK.
Hey, my name is Beth, and I just want to share with you guys for a couple of minutes what being on the front line looks for me and what it means to show Jesus to people in this season where I am and in my context. And for me, that is in youth work, it is with young people.
I'm Sarah Jane. Like many people during lockdown, my front line has shrunk quite a bit.
My name's John. This is my front line, Southland School. I work alongside Jane.
For those of you that don't know me, my name's Beth. I grew up in Whitley Bay Baptist Church, and I'm now living and studying in London and I'm working for a Christian charity called Kick London. And our mission, our vision is to transform young lives with God's love through sport and support.
As life becomes more normal and many of us start to return to front lines after many months of being away from them, let's remember God has placed us where we are for a reason, to share the love of Jesus with those around us. And over the past few months, we've considered what it means to be a kingdom citizen, which focused in turn on each of the Beatitudes. And it feels only right to look ahead to the future, remembering these beautiful words, which are also so very challenging, but achievable if we give our lives fully over to God as we move forward. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Amen.
Hello everyone. I wanted to talk briefly about the way ahead. And by that, I initially mean the way ahead for the next few months and then onwards. Over the coming months, as we go through a stage of recovery, we will need time to listen rather than setting off in another direction. To be cautious, as we can't know exactly what lies ahead. So there will be a period of transition as we return together in the church building. This is a time to listen to each other's stories of our real life situations. This was mentioned by a number of you in the questionnaire, the importance of a time of healing as we share our difficulties over the last few months. Emotionally, we may swing from dreaming about what is to come to fearing the still unknown, as the church will never be the same as it was pre-coronavirus. But what an opportunity and challenge this can be as we explore the new normal. In Jeremiah 29, we read a letter detailing what God has revealed to his prophet regarding the new normal of those who had survived being carried from exile to Babylon from Jerusalem. In it, the Lord encourages them to trust in his goodness in the new season. Verse 11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." So how do we move forward? What should our priorities be? The hardest thing is not starting up anything new, but looking at the established way. Church activity should fit the needs of people in the church and the community. As we emerge from this pandemic, are there things we might need to let go of, experiment with, or restart? Are there things we need to let go of? What have we been better without? What are the new things we have done over this past 16 months that we should keep? There are times when we need to allow some doors to close so that God will open new ones. The building is for the church family to meet together to worship, keeping the Bible central and connected to everyday lives. To do to get life together, for example in small groups or social gatherings, supporting and equipping each other. But as the church has been scattered through the community in unexpected ways, perhaps you have noticed the Spirit moving in unexpected ways. How might we develop a long-term vision for being in step with the Spirit at work in the community, rather than thinking it was just something for the time of the pandemic? How could the building be used to equip people to send them out into the community? God is creative and surprising, and he could call us to do things that are unusual or challenging. Much has been said over this time about the hybrid church. By that I mean the church building and the church online. We need to explore how people access life by using online, shopping, fitness routines, study, entertainment, work, and church. Online means that as a church we have wider doors to welcome everyone in. It's a place where we can link the church with homes. Churches in the Northern Baptist Association have reported a growth of people connecting with church services by joining online. And Alpha has reported reaching many more people online over these months than they would have done during pre-COVID times. To grow, maybe we need to consider how we connect online to the community and anywhere in the world. Zoom has helped us to get to know one another better. More people have come along to small groups and Zoom prayer meetings. More people have actively been praying as we have gone into small breakout groups. Zoom meetings mean we can join from home, from work, when we're away from home, and the response from you was in favour of how we might continue to use some activities on Zoom. God sometimes reveals his plans immediately, but at other times we are called to wait. We know that waiting can be difficult, yet in waiting our power is renewed and our strength is given. It's often as we slow down, wait and listen, that we are guided to the next step. Certainly CLT, along with Joel, will be waiting to see what God has planned for us. As we emerge into the new normal, looking to re-establish our gathering together and develop our connections to the community, let's remember that God has his hand on the future. He has good plans for us. It's his church and he will build it. His love is always for us and we are secure in him.
Our reading this morning comes from the beginning of Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. And as he describes his bad experiences in Asia, we can substitute our experience of the pandemic. We begin to read at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us all in our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But that was to make us not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope, that he will deliver us again. You must also help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted through the prayers of many. Today, our focus is on looking forward. And I want to do that by focusing on one word, the word hope. We need to have hope, don't we? The person who has absolutely no hope is in a dire situation. And hope is one of the key words of the Christian faith. We are, or we should be, people of hope. Paul puts it as one of the three key concepts or drivers we have as Christians. Faith, hope, and love are the three. But I sometimes feel that hope is the neglected one of the three. We talk a lot about having faith in God and in his son Jesus, trusting him for salvation through his death on the cross and subsequent resurrection. We talk about a lot about the love of God in sending Jesus to us, the love he has shown us and that we are to show one another. But we don't always say so much about hope. Hope is just as much a part and just as vital as the other two. A three-legged stool needs three legs to stand on and not to fall over. But today, I think we come with a good measure of hope. Hope is a future forward-looking thing. We hope for something that is going to be, and when it's realised, it brings much reward and joy and satisfaction. And then when one hope is realised, there'll be something else to hope for and drive us on. Until eventually, our ultimate goal and hope is realised, that of meeting with the Lord and seeing him face to face. That will be perfect satisfaction. Over this pandemic, there have been some big ups and downs. As Catherine so clearly said last week, there was the downer of everything locking down and us no longer able to do all the things we usually do. But then, looking forward, hope comes in. We hoped it wouldn't last long. We hoped the scientists would come up with a vaccine. We hoped we would come through safely. And now, as these hopes are being realised, we hope some more. We're looking forward to Joel's arrival as our new team leader and what his ministry will bring to the life of the church. We're looking forward to the time when everyone will feel able that they can rejoin us in the building again and things will be truly back to normal, at least as far as living without the threat of the pandemic hanging over us are concerned. Looking forward, we hope, and hope drives us on. I want to suggest an idea to you that you might like to take up. When you read your Bible, either at home, on your own, or with your family, or in your small groups, it helps to ask some questions in order to see what God is saying in a particular passage. What is this passage about? What is the context? What is it talking about? The what, where, why, when, and who questions. I want to suggest that you always add this question to the list of questions you ask. How does this passage give me or give us hope? Because most passages will, in some way or another, say something to that question. Hope that will work together with our faith and encourage us to go on. That one question can transform your outlook and make the joy of walking with the Lord more real and more present. Today, we move forward in hope. May God grant us faith, hope, and love to trust and reach out to those in our needy world in the days ahead. Thank you for joining us in our service this morning. And I'd also like to thank all of those who've contributed and put this service together. On the news page of the Whitley Bay Baptist Church website, you will find a list of dates coming up in the next few weeks that you might like to put in your diaries. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.